You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Hey guys, you're watching the Best Practices Show. We take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over the world. And if you're getting involved in great restorative dentistry and embracing the digital workflow, you're going to be looking for opportunities to compete. And today I've got an amazing expert that's going to help us see the future of dentistry. So do not miss this. Dr. Paresh Shah is on here with me today. So do me a favor, grab a pen and hit the share button. We'll see you in a few seconds. Guys, welcome back to the Best Practice Show. Thank you so much for watching. We are absolutely loving this and having a lot of fun doing it. And keep sending us suggestions for great shows, and we'll be getting these guests on as soon as we can. And today's topic is a hot one, because as people are embracing the digital workflow and looking for advantages in the future, we're all trying to think about this. And Paresh, my good friend, Paresh Shah, who you're going to meet in just a second, he's one of those influencers in dentistry that can kind of sum this up and bring this all together. But before we bring him on, just a couple things. We are shooting this live on Facebook. So if you have questions while we're shooting the broadcast, remember, you can always add questions to the feed, because we want you to get the most out of these. And if you're watching this after we've done the live feed, continue to add questions. Paresh is fantastic with social media, and he's pretty quick to respond. Again, we want you to get the most out of this. So my friend and guest today, Dr. Paresh Shah, you and I have known each other for a long time. I met you through the Seattle Study Club Symposium. We've been out there together many, many times, and I get to see you all over the world whenever I'm speaking at a big conference. But if somebody doesn't know who you are, tell us a little bit about your background and what you do, Paresh.
Hi, Kirk. Thanks very much. Yeah, we've known each other for quite a few years now. So I'm a practicing clinician in Winnipeg, Canada. Love what I do. I've been practicing for 27 years. And I've also, with my friend, had started a Seattle study club here. And we've had a study club in our city for probably 14 years or so. Practice all types of dentistry, but a good portion of interdisciplinary and digital dentistry as well. Although I still, as a general practitioner, still do a lot of everyday, restorative, crown and bridge and so forth. But I've also got a great team of specialists to work with as well. So I enjoy what I do.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We got Chris Ramsey jumping on too.
Oh, man. Chris,
so,
what are you doing?
I love it. Good stuff. Now, you and I were talking before we got started, and you have had a chance to be over at Germany and get to see all of the technology coming up. And we're always talking.
I have not been to IDS.
Oh, okay. You have not been to IDS.
I'm going next year for sure.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So you're going next year. And I'm coming with you, I think.
All right. That sounds great.
But you're on the cusp of all the things that are coming our way. And everybody often is quick to say, oh my gosh, digital dentistry, it's going this way. These younger dentists and younger population, They just want it quick and easy, but that's not true. And we're going to open this up a little bit because there's an amazing opportunity with the younger people and younger generations. And a lot of times it just has to be with how you think about it and look at it and think creatively. So give us a little perspective on what the future looks like and some of the questions people are asking you.
Well, it's interesting because as I do a fair amount of lecturing, as you know, and I meet dentists all over the world, primarily in North America. But as I've been lecturing on restorative and interdisciplinary care and digital dentistry a lot lately over the last couple of years, you know, people are interested in how to be relevant, how to be current, how to, you know, not just improve their clinical skills, but actually how. Where dentistry is going. And I think, you know, with you, as you're talking to so many different dentists and opinion leaders and even consultants and coaches, you know, I think that's one of the biggest questions everyone's asking them as well. Like, hey, where is the future? What is it now? How is it going to change? And I feel it's changing way faster than a lot of people think. I don't think it's going to take, you know, 5, 10, 15 years to change where we're incorporating a lot of the digital technologies. I think it needs to be done a lot sooner. But another big part of it is how we are communicating with our patients and the population in general. Because we have different demographics as everyone's aging and as our practices change and evolve. And I think it's important to understand that, you know, not everyone is painted in the same manner.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things, you know, because we get feedback when we're out there doing workshops, and I was so grateful to get this feedback. Somebody actually wrote this down and gave it to me and said, hey, look, Kirk, you can't always bash the next generation because it's too cliche to do. There are a lot of us that are very into this. We want to work hard and we want to learn. And I think and we were talking about this generationally. It's very quick to say, oh, they don't get it. They don't understand it, but they do. A lot of them do. And there's a hidden opportunity here. And a lot of it has to do with how you change your perspective. And you and I were talking about Simon Sinek. And I thought the way you framed that up was perfectly. So share with our listeners that.
You know, I love listening to him, and there's so many others that are similar in his thought process. But, you know, one of the things that Simon Sinek talks about is with millennials, you know, that maybe there's some onus on us. You know, I'm a baby boomer. I kind of caught the tail end of that. But as a baby boomer and even the Gen Xers, that they've entered a world that has had a lot of high expectations and standards and rules that have been set, and that perhaps we're not all being fair to the millennials, that we've got to give them a break in some ways. We have to show them how to negotiate through this because it can be a complex world. And I think what he says is that, you know, we need to also understand that we got to kind of meet them halfway.
Right.
It's not just going, hey, and I can speak from experience. I have a millennial that's a daughter that's a millennial, sorry. And, you know, she's a dentist as well, as you know. But, you know, she looks at things a little bit differently. And even though she sees things or she gets exposed to things with my lens, she also has her own way of looking at things. And so she's opened up my eyes to a number of things as well.
Yeah. And I think the hidden opportunity is how we look at it. My daughter is a freshman. She just made the varsity soccer team. I'm so excited.
Fantastic.
Well, the guy who's the coach, he's won 3 state consecutive championships for the boys. And he's also the girl and 2. So he's won 5 consecutive state championships. Now I'm curious, like he knows a little bit about soccer, I'm guessing. And you know what he said to me? He said, you know, Kirk, the thing that's different now is you can't coach kids the way you used to. Like you got to understand their minds. You got to understand what motivates them. Like it's a different way. I'm not hard on the kids like my coach was. And I thought about that. And I'm like, that's an opportunity. Obviously he gets it. And let me add one more thing. Right. You and I were talking, like my mom reminds me all the time that when Elvis came onto the scene, My grandma used to say Elvis is Satan. You know what I mean? Like it's Satan. The world is coming to an end. That is the end of the world. Well, that wasn't. You know, I think it's sometimes just a matter of perspective that sometimes we got to rethink, relook at this, get a little creative and embrace the future and look at it as an opportunity.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I told you, I mean, I grew up with Elvis and, you know, a lot of the people during that time. So it was interesting times, but that was just part of it. Yeah, it was kind of shaking things up, literally. But I agree with you. It has to be, you have to look at it as an opportunity. If we just kind of roll our eyes, which, you know, in all fairness, I've done that over the last few years. Sometimes it'll be like, oh my, this is just another younger person, a younger generation, or it's a millennial, or it's a Gen Xer. And then you're starting to realize, well, man, you know, like this is, you know, they're our future. And if we don't give them some of these, you know, we've got some of the fundamentals, but we've got to instill a little bit of that. But I think part of it is also maybe learning to embrace some of the things that they're trying to do that are a little bit different. And I think we need a happy medium rather than black and white. No, they're just wrong, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm starting to break down some of those little stereotypes that I've had in the back of my head. And hey, you're going to experience a lot of it because you've got a huge group of demographics with your children, and so you're going not only millennial, but you've got the next two groups coming up,
right?
So you're going to face a lot of that right now.
Well, and I got to put on my readers for this one. Our good friend Warren Babinski, who, you know, I agree. He says, I've been working for 34 years in this industry and change is coming much faster than it ever has in the past. Amazing that different. So yeah, absolutely.
Warren's absolutely right, because it's one of those things where, so I was fortunate to be asked to give a talk at the Seattle Study Club Symposium in January. And, you know, mine was not clinical. Mine was, you know, we all had these short TED Talks. They were either 18 or 23 minutes, right? And I had one of the 18-minute ones. And I get up there, and I was talking about one size doesn't fit all. And basically, when I was asked to give the talk, it was, you know, what's the last lecture you want to, if it was the last thing you were going to say to people, what would you do? And I was fast-forwarding 20 years from now in 2038. About a month and a half before the symposium, I started realizing this isn't 2038. This is happening now. Like this is 2020, 2025, maybe at the latest, not 2038, where it's like the world has changed so fast and it's changing way faster. It's not going to take 20 years to see these changes. And part of it is I focused more on not the technology part of it, but the relationships and how you communicate with the different demographics. And the technology is important and it's not going to get you there. But the interesting thing is, maybe not for baby boomers like myself, but for all the other generations that are coming up, it's an expectation.
Yeah.
There's no question it's an expectation. You know, especially the millennials, they're expecting it. Mm-hmm. They're expecting you to be modern and current,
right?
And if they're already expecting that, and even the Gen Xers too, who are, you know, in the mid 30s and up, they're expecting current. And it's in all professions. I mean, even in the legal profession, they're expecting it. Even in medicine and chiropractic, I mean, we're not, you know, in medicine, we're not, you know, if you look at a physician now, and they're just using a paper chart and they have to pick up the phone to call the pharmacy to get your medications, you know, you really want them to look on a computer and be able to see from the pharmacy directly, hey, this is your medication list, don't you?
Absolutely.
You don't want to wait for them to fax it.
Absolutely. Well, now with everybody going to MyChart and their, you know, actually last week I ordered something from Amazon and it said, do you want to have it by the end of today for no additional cost? And I was like, of course I do. Boom.
Yes, of course
and
you do.
Showed up in a couple hours. Now, Drew McRae said this while you were talking. He said he took the leap. Digital oral scanner is coming, and I really feel that it's going to change the way I practice in so many ways. No tool in my career has done that. What are your thoughts on that?
Hey, if this is the same Drew I know that might have taught in dental school, hello, Drew. and if it's not, it's someone else. But, no, absolutely. Like, it's just get on it right now. It is going to make your life easier. Forget about, like, one thing is it's an expectation. But it does, the digital workflow will allow you to do things more efficiently and ultimately more predictably when it's used properly.
Yeah. And one of the things, I want you to go here because you are so good at this. You mentioned it's not only the tool, the technology and the opportunity, right, but to get creative with it. And you mentioned your buddy, like tell the story of your buddy who's doing scans now for eyewear.
So there's a young guy, he's an oral maxillofacial radiologist that went to dental school here in Manitoba. I remember teaching their class in third or fourth year. Milan Madsky, and he runs some radiology clinics in Toronto as well as around the country. Mm-hmm. But what he's doing now is so cool. Like, he is actually doing facial scans, like of the whole head, and actually designing eyewear, mm-hmm, and printing them. And he's actually creating custom eyewear as well. I mean, just thinking outside the box. It is so cool. So he's actually at optometry shows as well as maxillofacial radiology conferences. So it's pretty cool.
It is very cool. It's not only the technology, but getting creative with it is the key. And you can get away from some of the typical barriers like cost when it comes to traditional thinking. And we were talking about this. I've seen orthodontists now. There's a couple of them that have figured out you don't need monster facilities. They have rented small little spaces in very populated malls. They do scans. Yeah. And they can, with what you can do with digital, they sell all of the orthodontics in the mall in a small little space. And then they tell the kids and the parents where to go. And it's brilliant because, you know, how they're thinking outside of the box. So again, just an opportunity.
And I haven't heard about that. You just mentioned that for the first time. And I think I can probably hear some specialists and seasoned restorative dentists like myself kind of going, oh my God, now what's going on? Because now are we losing control over, you know, more proper diagnosis, or are we not? I don't know. I can't speak for it. But what that does tell me though, and tell us, is that yes, the world is changing and we are starting to make inroads in different places that we've never been before. And the reality is, whether some of us like it or not, it's happening. Right. And so what can we do within our own world and our own bubble and our own practices to at least stay relevant and current? That's what we need to look at. And it doesn't mean that as a clinician who's been practicing for 27 years and in my 50s, and that I have to all of a sudden like go into a mall and start offering tooth whitening and Invisalign and all that. I'm not saying that, because that doesn't necessarily fit within the fabric of how I want to practice. However, there are certain parts of that and aspects that I need to incorporate within my practice if I want to stay relevant. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. And I'm going to, go ahead. You can finish your thought.
Cause I do feel that, hey, what you need to do is again, relook at what your mission, vision, values, whatever it is, and see where you're heading over the next 5-10 years. Because I tell you, if I keep it exactly the same, and I want to practice at least 10 more years, I'm enjoying it, and I'm not practicing full time, but because I'm speaking and I'm enjoying life and everything, but I do want to continue practicing and I love what I'm doing. But I've also realized if I don't make significant changes in how I approach the patients and the demographics that are starting to come into my practice, I'm not going to be able to stay as relevant.
Yeah.
And that was a hard thing for me to accept, but I realize that now.
Yeah. Now, do you have any coping mechanisms you can give the rest of us? Like, what do you talk to your team about when it comes to this aspect of dentistry?
Well, you know what? They're liking it. And I've got a mixture. So I've got some Gen Xers and I've got some millennials in the group. I don't have anyone else that's a boomer like myself, but they see all of that. They don't want me to just disappear with the Coice and Spear and Seattle Study Club, of course, like that's still a big fabric of and a foundation for my practice. So I'm not deviating from that. But how we're communicating, how we're utilizing the technology, how we're using social media, how we're using the digital dentistry to communicate with our patients and a different group has really changed. And they're loving it because they're like, hey, this is cool. This is making my job and my career more enjoyable because we're doing some fun things.
Yeah.
And so they're liking it.
Yeah.
Some of the changes can sometimes be a little stressful, but I also give them time to learn and implement for me.
Right. Right. Now I want to ask you this question. Warren chimed in again. This is, and I appreciate the comment, Warren. You know, this is brilliant to think outside the box for specialists because the orthodontic example, just digital platforms. But can I ask you this question? Because I get this question every day from young dentists we're coaching. Okay, I get it. Or maybe dentists that are a little bit more mature in the career. Paresh, you get to see this. You're an influencer in dentistry and it's changing fast. Do I bite the bullet and buy all the technology now? You know, it might change in the next couple of months. Am I going to be one of those guys that gets mad that I got the scanners in the box and I didn't even open them up and they switched? So tell me your thoughts on that.
Let me tell you a couple of things. One, okay. bought my Mac that I'm communicating with you right now 4.5 years ago. January 4 years ago. So not quite a half.
Okay.
My wife got hers a few weeks after. Already it was a little faster and a little more memory. Mm-hmm. I still got from A to B and I can still use it. My screen cracked. That was my mistake. So I got another one, which is sitting right next door to right here on the counter next to me. But I still plan on using this one. Okay. So I can still do it. Now, someone asked me 2 months ago, they sat with me and said, Paresh, would you buy a driverless car right now? And I'm like, no. And he's like, why? I go, because it hasn't been around long enough. It's only been about a year or a couple of years. And I go, well, when would it be? And I go, well, we just want to have enough people using it for maybe 5-10 years, and then I'll buy one. They go, well, how long's digital been here? I go, well, 34 years. Wow. I go, well, is that long enough? I go, yeah, it's more than long enough. It's 34 years that Sirona first started.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know what more you want to wait for.
Yeah. Well, I think
no sense. So So get on it and buy a scanner. You don't have to buy the game changed when we moved from having to buy a complete system that costs between $100,000 and $150,000, depending on if you're living in the US or Canada.
Right.
Okay, the game changed 7-8 years ago when you could all of a sudden start buying scanners separately. So now the entry point was less. And now we have some fantastic scanners. There's at least 7 or 8 on the North American market right now. You can get from A to B with any one of them. You just have to pick what you like, you know, in terms of software, in terms of handling and all of that stuff. But you can't move to that next level without it. Okay.
Right.
And that's with the communication. That's with the convenience. That's with that entire digital workflow where you're treatment planning, you're diagnosing, and you're communicating with patients. And if you're waiting for it to drop to $9,999 in the next couple of years, this guy right here, me, I don't think that's going to happen right now.
Right.
So you got to suck it up and you got to do it. But if you're looking at it as just an ROI by changing impression material, don't waste your time because you're looking at it in a very narrow focus. It's not the right way to look at it.
Right. And our good friends are on.
There's so many other things that the digital workflow is there for besides replacing impression material. And you have to get away from that stigma. And part of that problem, unfortunately, was brought about by manufacturers.
Right.
And God bless them because, I mean, I get along very well with all the manufacturers, but at the same time, that was a problem. When people would come to your office, they'd go, how much do you spend on impression material? And that's the worst question you can ask. It's a question you should ask, but you don't base it on that. You base it on all the other opportunities. And a really good sales rep understands how they can help you become a better practice.
Amen. And I totally agree with you. I might wait on the Uberless driving car because that's still hitting people, but the technology in dentistry is important. Now our friends Ritter and Ramsey are on
in Florida. I love those guys.
I do too. And Chris asked the question. He said, we've seen digital costs to go up. Where is digital dentistry allowing costs to go down? That's the question. And Ritter replied, customer support. So how would you answer Ramsey's question?
Hey, tell these guys, this is the no BS zone, right?
This is the no BS zone. So, and those guys don't do any BS, but where is digital dentistry allowing costs to go down? That's a good question. I love that question.
You know what? And I agree with them. I think a lot of it has to be with customer service, customer support. And, but I also feel that part of that is there are intangible ways to save money. And I wish we could just quantify this, but those two will tell you because, you know, there was a point where I ended up, I had like four scanners in my office and I think they've had more and they've experienced with at least a half dozen of them. I think I've had about the same, but when we do that, the one thing that you will find once you have that digital workflow really humming in your practice is you are going to save time. And I honestly, Kirk, cannot tell you and look you in the eye and tell you that I, you know, how much I can actually, I saved in the course of a year, but it's significant. And I know when you talk to dentists, just even in terms of just impressioning, they're always, you know, a lot of them get defensive, including myself. I got that for years. It's like, hey, impression material works great. I have absolutely no problems with it. I don't have adjustments to make.
Right.
And, you know, when you go back and you really think about it, then you sit with your staff and you go, yeah, well, that one I actually had to adjust. This one I had to do. Once you're dialed in, you have more control of all the variables with a digital workflow. With a traditional workflow, there are so many variables you don't have control over. You don't have control over who's pouring models, who's pouring how it's being transported, what the weather is like when it's being transported. So now I'm going down to the common denominator of just talking about impressions, right? Which I said, hey, we shouldn't do that. But just looking at all of those variables, who's handling it in the lab, right? How many people are handling it? Are they pouring it properly? There's no way the weather in Winnipeg in January, an impression is going to handle the same as in Dallas, Texas, in the middle of summer.
Right.
There's no way. So all of those variables come into it. So all of a sudden, you know, you have adjustments and things. I'll tell you right now, you can ask Chris and Rob that too. I bet you now their chair time for delivering their restorative material is significantly less. And I know some of your clients probably find the same who are really doing well with digital dentistry. So all of a sudden, maybe you don't get it in the front end where, you know, it doesn't take me long to take an impression or a scan. Maybe you can save it 2 to 3 minutes, which is great. But on the tail end, I mean, my first 69 cases when I brought in the TruDepth scanner, I had zero adjustments. Zero. Then all of a sudden I had a bunch of them. What happened is the lab technician changed. So we had to go through a little learning curve. But if I can save chunks of 10 or 15 minutes on the tail end, and all of a sudden, let's say you got a practice that's doing, I don't know, 200 crowns a year. Well, if you can save 10 to 15 minutes on it, do the math on that at the end of the year.
Yeah, totally.
That is a big chunk of time of money or more productivity or just time with your family.
Yeah, absolutely.
You pick it.
You nailed it on the head, buddy, and it's blowing up now with people's comments on what you just said. So I agree. I always say time is the new rich. You know, it's all about time. And if you look at things that are technologically based that you love, Uber is not a transportation app. It's a time app. I press a button, somebody shows up and I disappear.
Right.
Amazon is a time app. I press a button, products to show up. So I can't go to the store. It's not about the money. It's not about technology. I save hundreds of hours by pressing a button. And I think that's awesome. Now, Warren had this for you. He said, my opinion is the technology is good. Would like to see the upcoming Kavo, German, and possibly the Asian scanners. The price is okay, but my gut feeling tells me there are some better price points coming. Digital costs should go down. Now, Ritter said, knob zone. And then Drew McCray said this, I did the math. I spent $300 to $400 a month on impression material. My least cost is going to be $800. And by no means do I assume I won't take traditional impressions. Just because I bought a hammer doesn't mean everything becomes a nail. My biggest reason is for patient communication, priceless. And then Warren chimed in and said, time equals money. It absolutely is a factor of affordability and technology. So go ahead, chime in on that.
So first of all, it's not knob zone. That's no BS zone.
No BS zone. No yeah. BS zone.
Absolutely.
Put BS in capitals and put it in crayon. We've been
talking about that. We're working on something.
No BS.
But in terms of, Warren, I agree that there's going to be something that's going to come down. All I'm saying is I don't think in the next 24 months we're going to have something that's going to work as effectively as the top scanners that we have here within the next 2 years and coming in under 10 grand. If it is, fantastic. Let's hope so. And if it is, it'll be like the AccuCam 15 years ago, where all of a sudden it was sitting at 10 grand and all of a sudden now you could, you know, afterwards, and it looked like R2-D2. You know, 15, 20 years ago, and then all of a sudden it came down and then you ended up getting something for a lot less. So that was really cool. Mm-hmm. So once it gets there, it'll be good. Communication, Chris is bang on. That is one of the things that I am using it like to the max, because how powerful is it that first of all, every one of my team, clinical team scans, okay, just diagnostic stuff. Okay. Mm-hmm. So all three of my hygienists scan. Mm-hmm. And last year in September, I went to the hygienist, and you can imagine how they reacted, and you coached some offices with all this stuff. And I said, ladies, January 3rd, we're scanning every new patient and every existing patient comprehensive exam. Mm-hmm. And of course, they kind of stay quiet, and then I walk away. And then a week later, my office manager comes up to me and says, they have questions for you, they're concerns. I'm like, okay, what is it? Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, we're just adding 10 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And I walk away. So I drop the mic and walk away. And then they're like, well, they're worried what's going to happen and how do they learn? And I say, here's, I'm going to give them something back. Because a lot of times dentists come in and they just say, hey, let's just do this. But you got to give them time. So I said, look, this is September. I'm going to give you 3 months. You got till the end of Christmas to learn how to scan. We had several scanners. So I said, just pick up any scanner. I want you to know how to handle it. Use it on a model, on a patient, or on yourselves. Practice it. Because January 3rd, if you're working with me, you're scanning. Mm-hmm. And they did. They exceeded my expectations. My three hygienists can scan as good as me. And in some instances, they can scan better.
Right.
And so that's what we're doing. So when we have a new patient exam now, you know, we have something better than an intraoral camera. We have a 3D digital health record. Right. We've got a 3D scan. How powerful it is. You go up to the screen and you can spin it around and it's like you're sitting in the back of your throat and you're looking at the back of your teeth. And now with color imaging, you can actually see some soft tissue changes. We've got it documented. So now we have, you know, we have a perio chart that we can go back for years and document change. And people ask all the time, hey, is the gum line receded? Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, how do I remember? It's been, you know, 2 years. Yeah. And I've got like a couple thousand patients, but I can go to the perio chart and go, no, Kirk, like this recession's been the same for the last 3 years.
Right.
I can look you in the eye, but now I've got a 3D scan to go with it.
Right.
It's not just a photograph. So yeah, what Chris is saying about communication, it is huge. Now, is it as huge with my baby boomers as it is with my Gen Xers and my millennials? No, not as much. Mm-hmm. The baby boomers like myself still want to hear why and the hows, and they might still want to see the articulator come out and go explain that to me.
Right.
But this other group, they're not interested in any of that.
Yeah.
They want to see this other stuff. Absolutely. They're looking at it already on social media. They're looking at it on Snapchat and Instagram and everything.
Yeah. Now speak about the hidden opportunity for the future when you teach a team member how to scan, because not only is it saving you time, freeing you up, but think about them growing in this whole process. They have a deeper understanding how this works. They can probably communicate it confidently. Like you just gave them an incredible tool to make them better. Would you agree?
100%. I can be sometimes a tyrant. The staff will say that, but I think I've been mellowing in the last couple, 2 to 3 years. I'm trying my best. But the bottom line is, I think I'm also taking them from one level to another. They're just not a person that suctions amalgam. They're not the person that's scraping teeth. They're not the person that's just answering the phone. Although my admin team is not doing any clinical stuff. But I'm just saying, I think I'm providing them an environment in here where they're constantly able to raise the bar and their level of education. And I think that's key. Whether they see that or not is another story, because there are some that have not lasted. They've either left or let go because they don't see that opportunity. Right. But the team that I do have, they see it and they work hard. It's not easy. There are times where it gets a little stressful because we're incorporating some of these things. But I've also learned to try and give them enough time also, which I think us dentists don't do enough of that. We just go somewhere, we pick up a new technology or a new procedure, and we just say, hey, we're doing this, and we don't give them any time.
Right.
And you got to give that back.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ritter chimed in and he said, dentists don't value time, period. But let's talk really what time gives you. Time gives the ability to give you better focus on the things that matter. And right. The byproduct of it, ultimately, you get more time, but also the financial implications are huge. Warren chimed in. He said, 200 crowns times 10 minutes, that's 2,000 minutes. Time is money. At $500 an hour production, those 10 minutes mean $16,600 worth of profit. So, right. You know, so like, I think that's the byproduct. You can obviously, right. But you know, the important thing as a business owner is to see the big picture here, yeah. You know, and yeah. The opportunities. So cool. Yeah. What, anything you would say to that before we go to the kind of the final wrap up on this?
No, like what Warren says is absolutely true. Like I wish we could quantify the time part of it, but we can't. But as you start, it was interesting. I was lecturing in Edmonton on Friday, and there was one of the dentists said, hey, I bought an iTero scanner. It's changed my world. And I go, well, how so? And I just said, well, share it with the group. He goes, I can't believe how much time I'm saving. This was not unscripted, because I'm like, what, where is this coming from? He goes, I just want to tell you because I'm so excited. I'll go, okay, share it with the group. Right. And he said, I am saving so much time. When I deliver my crown and bridge, that I've paid for my scanner like already in a year. And I'm like, really? And he goes, yeah, I just am. And there was another one that said the same. And then there was another one that was a CEREC user that's been using it for years. And he's like, I saved so much time. Mm-hmm. So the people that have learned and to embrace it and use it. And like Chris said, I still have impression material in my practice. There are things it's not a new hammer. It's another tool, but it's a big tool. Right. And you know what, guys, it's an expectation. If you think the public doesn't want it, good luck.
Right.
Because
right.
They do. And what you're going to miss out on is if you want to practice even 5 more years, it is going to make a difference. But especially 10 or more years, it's an expectation. Yeah. I don't care what anyone says. It's an expectation because this public wants it. And you look at what you were saying about that dentist. Well, why is he setting up a shop in a mall like to do aligners or whatever? Well, because the public is asking for it.
Right.
Maybe not people my age, but the rest of you. My age is looking for, you know, Amazon and getting my groceries delivered so I don't have to go in my parking lot.
Absolutely. Now, I'm putting this on my checklist of things to ask. Everybody, dentists love toys. I'm asking everybody I interview, what's your favorite toy? So if you had a favorite toy in your office, what would you say it would be? Something that you go, wow, I love this thing. What is it?
It's a scanner. It is. I know it sounds kind of weird, but the scanner along with the model printer mm-hmm. has been fun. I've used Mills as well. Still have one in here in the office, but it's just being able to, I finally got, one of the oral surgeons and periodontist on board over the last 6 months to start doing our treatment planning together. So, you know, they've got their surgical treatment planning. I've got, I take the scan. We just brought a patient in right this morning to do that. My hygienist took a quick scan. I've already got my STL file. I'm going to send it to my lab. They're going to do a digital design. I will get that back. I can print the model here. Now I'll fire all of that to my oral surgeon, and we're going to treatment plan a case with a smile design in there. Right. I mean, and he's got 3 kids. Like, he doesn't have time to be sitting around meeting me. We can do this all yeah. virtually on our own time and share that stuff. And that just gives me, that's a lot of fun. That is a lot of fun.
That's awesome. That yeah. is awesome. So you get a chance to speak. Ritter said there's nobody that lectures more than Paresh does. I might agree with that. Now you travel everywhere. Let's speak to all the different generations. Let's talk to the mature dentist that might fit your category, my category, maybe somebody that's been in practice for a little while. And then
right.
we have a lot of dental students watching this. So what would you right. say to all 3 of those generations about the future and the hidden opportunity?
Okay. So like I said, it's hard for me to tell a person who's going to retire in the next 2 to 3 years that, hey, invest 20 or 30 grand. But I truly feel you can make your practice more palatable to a younger dentist if you have that technology. Because if all things are equal, including a potential patient base, and everything else is equal, a practice that's fully modern, you know, a young individual is going to buy that practice more so, in my opinion,
right,
rather than one that's run down, if all other things are equal. Okay. Right. So I do feel that. But I think if you're going to be practicing at least 5 years or more, you know, you're going to pay for it. I think you can pay for it within a year by just the time you're going to save. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. Now, with clinicians who are practicing 15, 20, 25 years, like my daughter, over the next 30 years, if she wants to practice that long, you know, the technology is an expectation. You have to have, and the moment you can afford to in there or get usable, the continue on and some fun. And you, if you want, like my daughter, Serena, who is going to be practicing longer, she's going to grow her practice not on baby boomers. She's going to grow it on Gen Xers, millennials, and whatever you call the next group, Gen Z or whatever, right?
Right.
She's going to grow it with that. They're expecting all this.
Yeah.
They're expecting it. They're looking at it, and they're looking at Instagram, and they're looking at you know, whatever, LinkedIn, the business community, and they're looking at who's current, and it's the way it is.
Yeah.
You have to get on there. And if you're not, you are going to be. Who was the guy that spoke at symposium? Peter Diamandis?
Diamandis. He was amazing. Diamandis,
right?
Yeah.
And what is he talking about? In terms of technology, the world is evolving way faster than anyone thought, right?
Mm-hmm.
And each time something new comes out, I mean, it's not like it takes you 5 years or 6 years to catch up. I think it was like 18 months, right?
Right. Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
Well, when you summarize this, I don't know, would you agree with this? There's never been a more exciting time to practice dentistry with what we have at our fingertips. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, I was worried about it for a little while because I wasn't looking at the opportunities that were there and some of the shift in my mindset that I had to take moving forward.
Right.
And now that I'm looking at that and understanding that, you know, I have to look at things differently with the different groups, I'm excited about it now. I really am. It's, is it easy? No. Is there going to be some work in changing this? It's a paradigm for a person like me. But if I can do it, and I got great resources, my daughter and a lot of her friends, and, you know, and then I got this support group with, Ramsey and Ritter and, Buddy YL and a few others. So that's kind of fun.
Yeah. We all need it. We all need it.
Yeah.
It's what makes this journey so much fun. I was just with Ramsey on Friday. I didn't get to see Ritter, but like, that's what makes this so much fun collectively. Yeah,
it is. And I do think that the thing that, you know, the thing that Chris and Ramsey always talks about it with communication, you know what, we need to even take it to another level because we have to understand that each of these groups, we need to communicate with them a little differently, but a big chunk of them for people who are going to be practicing 15 plus years, the technology is an expectation. If you think it's not, you're fooling yourself. It's expected.
Yeah.
Right? All these other companies and businesses are changing their gears towards them. Look how advertising is going on to social media.
Right.
It's not on Google anymore. It's on instant social media.
So what you're telling me is I got to get rid of my VHS. I can't find a Blockbuster anymore.
Man, oh man.
I don't know what's going on.
Hey, listen, there's still some cool LPs, like, you know, for those people that don't know, like vinyl records, they still sound really cool and you got that static on there, but I don't think our kids will enjoy listening to it at all.
No,
you and I would.
No, but buddy, I am so grateful for our relationship. You always help me expand the way I'm thinking every time we chat, whether it be about digital or just the future of dentistry. And we're going to continue to have you back for different topics. So, and you can see the comments are blowing up. Thank you for such, you know, great content, great thought, and great leadership. So stick around while we say goodbye to everybody. Wait, before we do, Paresh, you know, if you're watching this, you've never had Paresh speak to your study club, you got to get him out there. If I've got a study club, how do I get you out there? How do I get you to speak at my meeting?
Geez, you can Google me. You can look me up on Instagram. My email is shahp, S-H-A-H-P, at mymts.net, mymts.net. Awesome. But if you just Dr. Paresh Shah, dentist, and yeah, I'm on Instagram and my website as well. So
yeah, you're going to have to show me Instagram. I don't know how to use that. So, so I'll stick. Yeah. Stick around. So until we say goodbye to everybody else, but hey, you guys, thanks for chiming in today, especially live and all the comments. We really appreciate that. Continue to give us feedback on shows that you want to see, topics that you want to see, or big challenges. I'll get my friend Paresh back and we'll dissect them one at a time for you. And until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practice Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you.